don't need no education. We don't need no thought control.
Welcome to Education Nation, where every Saturday morning at 10:30, we grab our second cup of coffee and tackle the biggest issues in American education. Your host is the headmaster of Liberty Classical Academy, Rebecca Hagstrom, along with co-host Pete Hegseth. School is now in session.
Well, good morning, and thank you for joining us here on Education Nation. I am your host, Rebecca Hagstrom, and we are so thankful to you, our listening audience, that you've been tuning in on this very, very busy and festive Christmas weekend, and right before the big Packers game. And I know that KLBB, being the official studio that plays the Packers games, it's going to be a great time for us to be able to expose ourselves to the Packers listeners. And being a Wisconsinite myself, having grown up in Hudson, I'm just going to wish those Packers well. I know my mom and dad are cheering over there in Hudson.
They're on a roll.
All right. So I'm here again in studio with Mark Durkin, who is joining me as co-host once again. Thank you, Mark. Welcome.
Great to be here.
Yeah, and we're glad to have you too. You've got a long-standing radio and TV history, and we're glad that you're sharing it with us.
It's my pleasure.
All right. And we have a very fun show planned for us today in that we've got a couple of special guests, and they are brothers, and I'm going to be introducing them right before segment two. But in the meantime, I want to just introduce, given the fact that we've got this Packers game, it gets me thinking about sports, and we decided it would be a great opportunity for us to discuss athletic scholarships versus academic scholarships, because, you know, every parent, I raised four boys, every parent, when they have those sons and daughters, they think, my child's going to be that next athlete that gets that big, huge scholarship.
Especially when you consider that in this game, each roster has 53 players that could enter the game at any point. So that's 106 players that'll be playing during this game today.
Wow.
And when you think of that, many of them enjoyed the benefit of scholarships during their college football careers.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sure that that's really true, isn't it? And that just feeds all the more our thoughts that with that many people playing on just one football team alone, and you multiply that by all the college football teams out there, there must be lots of opportunity, right, for athletic scholarships just in the realm of football.
Yeah, you would think so. In fact, I think college football rosters are bigger than 53 players that the NFL carries. So you would think scholarships galore.
Yeah, you would think that, wouldn't you? But one of the things that I'm going to talk about today, and we're going to be discussing with both you, Mark, and Jacob and Andrew a bit later, is that there's actually, surprisingly, few athletic scholarships available as compared to the academic realm. And when we raised little Johnny and Sarah to be great athletes, and we're thinking athletic scholarship, come on, we're going to getting them started young so that they can do really well. Those are all really valuable things to do, and it's going to be good for them because team sports, there's lots of value in team sports. But we want to really shed some light on the surprisingly low number of athletic scholarships as it compares to academic scholarships today.
Yeah, we have those numbers that we'll be sharing a little later on in the segment. And in fact, too, it's not even a consistent thing. You know, college coaches, and we'll talk about this a little later as well, they can even pull those scholarships, you know, based on performance. Mm-hmm. And then what does the student really have to stand on if their athletic dreams aren't coming to pass the way they thought they would?
Right, right. But before we do that, I want to highlight what I think everybody knows to be true, and that is that athletics are really valuable to the development of a young person. And, you know, when I was in high school, women's sports were coming into play pretty significantly, and we were starting to get involved with athletics in more of the junior high age. Nowadays, that's actually, that age has gone down to even preschool. We see that our kids are getting involved in athletics from very, very, very young ages. And I believe that there's good in that, in the sense that you're developing the skill sets of the kids early on. But I also think some of the reason for that is that people are hoping and praying that their kids can be so awesome by starting them so young that they might get a full ride when they go off to college. And before we kind of go off on that path, let's talk about some of the benefits of athletics and the benefits to the teamwork, or the benefits to the student. What would you say some of those things are, Mark?
Well, I look at my daughter, for example. Now, she's 4 years old, and she had an opportunity to take part in soccer this past summer. Excuse me. And it was really great to see just how it was really reinforced to follow directions, to do so in a teamwork atmosphere, okay, how to work together with other kids for the fulfillment and the accomplishment of one goal, the fact that there were relationships that were being forged at such a young age, and seeing her grow comfortable in the context of working together with other kids at such a young age was truly priceless.
And I think not only that, but I also think they learn self-discipline. And, you know, when you consider academics, that's one type of self-discipline. But when it comes to athletics, it's a different type of self-discipline. You have to push yourself harder physically. Sometimes you have to push yourself harder even emotionally. You have to keep going even when the going gets tough. And you might have to kind of pour yourself. I mean, what do we say? You know, they left themselves out on the field, or they left themselves out on the court, because they poured everything they had into being the very best that they could, and developing their skill sets to the very best that they can. Those are all great traits or great developmental skills that they are learning through, that they really can't learn through academics.
Endurance, perseverance, learning to continue even when you're behind, understanding that only the top performance, the team that scores the most points or scores the most runs or the most touchdowns, wins, and only one gets the trophy.
Right. Oh, my goodness. Yes. In this day and age, that one's huge, isn't it?
It is.
That they actually have to learn how to be graceful winners and graceful losers.
Yes.
And that they really, that there really is a loser.
Only one team can win.
That's right. Although I have to admit that I've heard that in elementary school sports, sometimes they won't keep score. They try to keep it a secret from the kids. Oh, now, this doesn't happen everywhere. I have just heard that this has happened in some places across the country. But the kids still know. They still keep score because they know. They want to know. Ultimately, kids know that there are winners and losers in life. And that I think the sooner that the kids can actually learn that that is a true part of life, the better off they are. And better, the sooner they'll learn how to be graceful winners and losers. So, yeah, that's another really, really good one. Another great opportunity is learning how to listen to a coach. You know, you're having to submit to authority and do what the coach tells you to do, even if you disagree with them. And that's very similar to being, you know, working under a boss at some point.
And what gets tested in that, too, is that if the coach says to you, you need to come off of the field.
Mm-hmm.
Or you're coming off of the court.
Right.
Will your interest be what's best for the team as opposed to yourself?
Right, right, right. So those are all, and those are only just a handful. I'm sure that our listeners can be thinking of even more great opportunities and skills that are developed through athletics alone. But I want to turn our attention a little bit then to this notion that we all think that our child is going to be, you know, the next greatest baseball player or basketball player or football player and soccer player, and that they might just get this full ride. You know, like you said earlier, we have this thought that if our kid's going to be really good, that they're going to get a full ride to some great D1 school or D2 school. And the reality is that very few kids actually do get athletic scholarships to begin with, and certainly even fewer who get really significant ones at a D1 school. And so let's look at some of the numbers here, Mark, before we go into the break. Do you want to help us out?
Absolutely. Well, the interesting thing is according to NCAA.org, NCAA Divisions 1 and 2, they provide athletic scholarships in excess of $2.7 million dollars annually to more than 150,000 student athletes. Now, that may sound like a lot on the front, but think of all the schools that are under Division One AA or Division Two. Okay,
right.
So this is the finest of the finest across the entire country. Mm-hmm. Okay, that sounds like a lot of athletes, but you know that's only 2% of all high school athletes across the country.
That's a statistic that I think is really important for our listeners to hear. Only 2% of all student athletes actually go on to receive athletic scholarships, and then when you look at the numbers, the dollar value of those scholarships, that's another really shocking statistic, isn't it?
It is. It is. In fact, I have a brother who coaches women's college basketball down in Alabama. They're at a much smaller scale in the USCAA. That's the United States Collegiate Athletic Association. Mm-hmm. You know, for example, if a student were to score a 23 on an ACT, they would be offered almost $5,900 in the academic scholarship, mm-hmm. whereas, you know, he's only allowed to offer a total of $9,000 to a student. Mm-hmm. to play basketball for him.
Athletic.
So
mm-hmm.
now if you get a 26 ACT at his score, that's a $10,700 that they could just get from an academic scholarship mm-hmm. where they won't have to worry about the athletic monies knowing whether or not they would play.
Right, right. And that's, again, really important for us to think about, because if we just focus all on athletics with our kids and make decisions for them based on thinking that they're going to get this huge academic or athletic scholarship, we might be sorry down the road later.
It's all the eggs in one basket.
Exactly, exactly. And even with the athletic scholarships, the students actually still have to be good students as well. They have to do well academically in order to even claim their athletic scholarships.
That's right. And despite all of their good efforts on the basketball court, if they're being outdone by other students, mm-hmm. okay, on mm-hmm. the basketball court, the coach then reserves the right to either cut the funding for the athletic scholarship or greatly reduce it. Where does that leave the student if their eggs are all in that one
right,
basket?
Right, right. You know, we know that with there being fewer athletic scholarships versus academic scholarships, that the important thing that we really should be teaching our kids is to focus on academics. And after the break, we're going to be interviewing two students who are brothers, and they were athletes. And they were also their parents especially, very much valued academics. And so they ended up at Liberty, even though they were these great athletes. And so we're going to talk with Jacob and Andrew Grill after the break, and we're going to ask them some of their thoughts about some of these conversations that we're having today. So join us after the break, and you'll get introduced to two wonderful young men.
We don't need no education. We don't need no thought control.
Well, welcome back on this beautiful Christmas Eve day as we are talking about athletic versus academic scholarships, the importance of athletics, as we proceed here, the Green Bay Packer game. So we are very excited to introduce to you a couple of students who attended Liberty. But before we do, I want to very quickly share some stats from scholarshipstats.com that demonstrate the power of what Mark and I have been discussing here this morning. And that is that overall, between all of the divisions, NCAA 1, 2, and NAIA, and by the way, NCAA 3, Division 3, they don't even give athletic scholarships. And most private schools out there tend to be more of the NCAA Division III schools. So keep that in mind, that they don't even offer athletic scholarships at that level. But all scholarships, athletic scholarships combined in 1 year are about $3.3 billion that are given out to students, which sounds huge until you hear that a total of $11.1 billion is given out annually in academic scholarships.
And those numbers also include the National Junior Collegiate Athletic Association as well, too.
Okay.
A lot of junior college students also try to make that step up to NCAA.
Right. So it's pretty huge. So Jacob and Andrew, I'm so excited to have you on, two of my favorite boys who graduated from Liberty in the last few years. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yeah, and we've got Andrew, by the way, by the phone. He is on his route or en route home from Creighton, where they both attend school. And Jacob is here in studio. So thanks so much for joining us this day of Christmas Eve here this morning.
No problem. Excited to be here.
Good. So, Andrew and Jacob, talk a little bit about some of the scholarships that you were offered. Your parents long ago realized that though you were both talented athletes, especially in baseball and basketball, they really wanted you challenged, and they were seeing that you were not being challenged in the public schools. And so they moved you to Liberty back when you were in elementary school. Mm-hmm. And talk a little bit about some of the scholarships that you were both offered at some of the colleges that you applied to. Why don't you go start with Jacob, and then we'll go to Andrew.
All right, so okay. I go to Creighton right now, and there I was offered in between $15,000 and $20,000 of academic scholarships.
Which is huge.
Yep, that's a lot. But that actually wasn't the place where I was offered the most. The most I was offered was Baylor University, where I was offered in between $28,000 and $30,000 of scholarship.
And that's annually.
Yeah. Yes, that's annually academic scholarships.
Which is huge. And compare that to an average athletic scholarship, which is about $5,000.
That's almost nothing. Right. If I got $5,000 from Creighton University, I would not be attending there right now.
Yeah, it'd be too expensive. You wouldn't be able to afford it. Yeah. And Andrew, how about you?
Yeah, so I also go to Creighton. And at Creighton, I'm in the same range for annual scholarship that Jacob is. I also have an additional scholarship. It's called the Christina Hickson Scholarship, and that was a scholarship that I applied for when I knew I was going to be attending Creighton. And with that one, I believe it is $9,000 annually, and it continues to grow as the cost of tuition goes up.
Oh, that's great.
Some other scholarships that I received were when I was looking at colleges still at St. John's University, I was accepted into their Dean's Fellows program, and I think I would have been going there for around $5,000 a year on academics.
Wow. So almost a full ride. That is incredible. Boy, you two alone, your experiences alone really highlight for us the huge differential between athletic versus academic scholarships and the opportunities that are out there for you. Why don't you share with us some of the experiences that you had at Liberty? Because even though you attended Liberty, there were some benefits, not just academically, which we'll talk about maybe a little bit later, but there were actually advantages for you athletically, which might be surprising to some of our listeners. So why don't the two of you talk about some of your great experiences?
So one experience that I thought was really cool at Liberty was getting lots of playing time on the sports teams, in the sense that the teams aren't very large, but at the same time, they're still competitive, in the sense that we're playing competitively in the conference or division that we're in. So all the games are usually close contests, and they're all very high-pressure situations where it's really a good environment for sports. One cool experience that Liberty offers for sports that I really liked was the co-op for football with New Life Academy and St. Croix Prep Academy. With that co-op, it was great to get to meet kids from other schools and kind of share experiences with them and be on a team with them. I really liked that.
Yeah. How about you, Jacob?
So kind of like what Andrew said, a lot of the games are really close contests, and we're often playing a lot of minutes in the games, and I often found it was hard to even like find rest during the game. But that's not a bad thing.
Right.
And,
versus sitting on the bench.
Correct, yeah. And another good thing that Liberty Sports brought to me is I started playing varsity sports when I was in seventh grade.
Wow.
So this brought to me a new level of competition that I've never seen before, and it kind of introduced it. Varsity sports to me at a young age, which really helped me throughout my career growing into a junior and senior.
Sure. And both of you were very talented, as I mentioned earlier, and I know that you've won some awards. Why don't the two of you share what some of you won individually and then as a team collectively?
Okay, so I'll start. And I think I was getting all academic awards through the conference ever since freshman year. And then starting around my 10th grade year, I was getting all conference awards for my athletic performance.
Excellent.
And then finally in my senior year, I was nominated to the All-State baseball team.
Excellent.
For Minnesota.
That's fabulous. And did the team win the conference this year?
So
or last year, whenever that was?
we I think we were back to back, so four-time champions with the regular season conference for baseball. And then we won the conference tournament three times in a row. And unfortunately, in my senior year, we weren't able to win it in the conference tournament, but that happens sometimes.
But 4 years conference wins and three out of four in a row tournament.
Correct.
Tournament wins. That's incredible. How about you, Andrew? I know you won some awards too for your athletic.
Yeah, I had very similar experiences to Jacob. Obviously, it was cool being able to play on the same team as him.
Yeah.
I really liked that, and yeah, I had some all conference academic awards. I think I received my first like all conference performance honors around my sophomore year as well. Some of the cool team experiences that I've had were I was on one of Liberty's soccer teams where we had our best record to date. I believe it was the last year that Coach Dreger,
Mr.
Dreger was coaching. Mm-hmm. And that was a really cool experience being on that team and having that strong Christian environment on the team. I thought I really helped thrive and helped with my performance. And then my senior year, I also received All-State honors for baseball within the conference and within the state.
Yeah.
So, you know, just those experiences were, I thought, really valuable in helping my my career.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I was actually on that same soccer team that Andrew was talking about as an eighth grader.
Wow.
I still remember to this day Chris Dreger coming up to me after school one day and asking me, he's like, "Hey, Jacob, I know you're playing on the middle school soccer team, but I've been watching you play, and I was wondering if you want to join the varsity squad with us. I really think that you'd be able to help us out a lot, especially on defense." So I took advantage of that opportunity, and very, very happy I did.
Yeah, and I bet he probably regrets that because he broke his leg that year.
I know.
No, that was the year after that, my sophomore year.
Oh, okay.
The last year you ever played soccer.
Correct. Yeah. I decided to play something a little more safe. I decided to play football my junior and senior year.
A little safer, haha. But no, I mean, it's wonderful to hear the vast experiences that you've had and even just the fact that you can play all the sports, because you guys played soccer in the fall, basketball in the winter, baseball in the spring, mm-hmm. and yet you were really, really intense baseball players. That was kind of your first sport, really. And yet somehow you were able to do all of that because, I would say partly because you were at a school like Liberty, right?
Oh, 100%. Like, that would be very difficult to do at a larger school where they really encourage students to specialize in one or two sports.
Mm-hmm.
There's not many three-sport athletes who play three different sports in high school anymore these days.
Wow, that's great to hear. Well, another thing that you mentioned to me actually on the phone earlier, Andrew, is that you were so thankful that you decided to not try to go play baseball at a D3 school and follow that athletic love, but instead you decided to take the academic scholarships and go to a school that you could think more about your career rather than your athletics. So tell us how that's paid off for you, and Jacob, you can address that too.
Yeah, so originally my senior year of high school, I was really interested in playing baseball somewhere. I wanted to continue that as I was really passionate about it. And as my senior year went on and on, I realized how it was becoming more important to choose a school that had a strong academic program and to choose a school that was reputable.
Mm-hmm.
And I ended up choosing Creighton and not playing sports there. And I would say probably about halfway through my freshman year of Creighton that I realized how thankful I was that I made that decision. By focusing on academics, I've been able to advance my career. I'm a finance and marketing major, planning on becoming a chartered financial analyst someday.
Mm-hmm.
And Creighton has helped set me up with that. Well, when I chose to pursue my career, I've had some great internship experiences, and I've really gotten my career off to a good start.
Excellent.
At any point, Andrew, was that a painful experience? I mean, I know growing up as athletes, I know I played a lot of athletics when I was younger. At any point, was it, wow, I feel like a dream is shattering here? Or was there really a healthy perspective to say, you know what, this only could be short-lived, even if I was at the top of my game and that ultimately my academic career is most important.
Yeah, I think that's definitely a normal reaction to when you realize that you won't be playing sports anymore. It's kind of a new realization because sports were my main priority when I was in high school. But in college, I've really found that when I focus on academics more, that in a sense, one door is closing and another door is opening. I'm able to pursue new opportunities, and I'm able to see the long-term outcomes and the long-term results of working on my career right now instead of just playing a sport for 4 years at a school and maybe not receiving the best degree. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I think with me, it started probably around my sophomore year in high school, where I actually saw Andrew getting all these academic scholarships and seeing how much they were, and I thought to myself, wow, that's a lot of money. Even these athletes that are much, much better than me, they're not going to be able to get that much strictly from an athletic scholarship. So at that point in my life, I didn't stop. Athletics was still like my main focus because that was where my interests were. But it made me realize that I really need to pick colleges based on academics, because athletics, if you go there, most likely it's only going to last 4 years. Where if you go there for academics and your career, that's what you're going to be doing your entire life.
And I think it made you sharpen your academic studies even while you were still in high school, didn't it?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
We saw it. I'm going to say, because I know you and I know your mom, that you really transformed into a student that year. You cared so much about academics at that point because you saw the value.
Correct. Ever since then, I kind of figured that the schools are going to be looking at me for my academic standing, which that's what I'm going to have to focus on more.
Yeah.
And you can't get those athletic scholarships without the necessary grades. You know, you can't. A lot of times there's a GPA cutoff.
Right.
Correct.
Right. You shared earlier that you had a friend, Andrew, that was not able to take an opportunity because of the lack of grades that he had.
Yeah, I had a friend who received a D1 football scholarship offer from University of Wyoming, I believe, and he wasn't able to accept that because he didn't have the necessary grade requirements. So I think he ended up going to a much smaller school and playing football for a few semesters, but yeah, that was the reason he missed out on that opportunity.
Oh, so sad. Well, listen, we have to wind down here, but I am so thankful that the two of you came into the studio today. Jacob, you're here, and Andrew, thank you for driving and pulling over so that you could join us today on this beautiful Christmas Eve. And thank you, Mark, for joining me as our co-host today.
Always a pleasure.
And we wish our listeners a beautiful and Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. We'll be playing a rerun next week, but if you want to get this podcast or any other podcast, go ahead and join us on Education Nation's Facebook page, or you can go to iTunes and you can sign up to receive our podcasts, and you can hear more great shows on educational topics like these. But most importantly, if you want to hear Jacob and Andrew and that great interview that they just gave us today, we hope you can. And Merry Christmas all. We'll see you in a few weeks.